I'd like to talk for a short while about what we're doing here in this world. I think that many people are confused. Some people have no clue. Some people know intellectually, but they forget about it a lot. Life pulls us in many directions and distracts us. But it really seems that for many, many, many mental health and psychological and certainly spiritual reasons, it's very important to keep focus on what we're doing in this world. Why are we here? What's the purpose of everything? And sometimes keeping that purpose in mind gives us a sense of empowerment to do the things that we have to do towards the fulfillment of that purpose. One of the, I refer to this often because I was very impressed by it when I saw it many years ago, that Avi Shulman gives workshops on management and organization and things like that. And he developed this thing. You have take a piece of 8.5 by 11, forgive me, you fold it in three, you have 6 days a week here, and in the middle of each day you put, is what I'm doing now, leading me to my purpose, bringing me closer to my purpose. And I thought that's a wonderful thing, but if we don't have a sense of what our purpose is, we really don't know where we're going. The Rosh Yeshiva used to point out that even with a GPS, I don't think he used the word GPS because that was invented later, I mentioned Waze, but Waze looks a little different. But even with a GPS, as the Mesillas Hasharim really is, because the Mesillas Hasharim is a guided program from one step to the next, to the next, to the next, to achieve the ultimate level in this world. But even though there is such a program, the Mesillas Hasharim finds it necessary to start out in the first parak to tell us where we're going. Why do you have to tell me where I'm going if you tell me exactly how to get there? If you don't know where you're going, if you don't really get what it's all about, even with a detailed map and a detailed directions, what did they used to call it when we used to get directions off the computer? What?
MapQuest.
Even with a detailed, yeah, that's the thing of the past. Even with a detailed MapQuest, you can't get there because you have to know where you're going. You have to. I'll never forget, I once used the GPS at the early days, and I couldn't figure out exactly. And then I heard it tell me, go back where you came from. I told it where to go, and I just shut it off. But, we have to know where we're going. And Chazal say right at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis that Bereishis, Bishvil Reishis, Bishvil Yisroel Sheyisasku Batoiro. The world was created for the Klal Yisroel to be Isaac in Torah. That's the purpose of creation. Now, one could take that purpose in creation and say, okay, that's the purpose of creation, so that's it. But it's really far more sophisticated and far more complex than just that. Because Isaac HaTorah has to be almanas lasos, actions. You have to learn almanas to perform the mitzvahs. And mitzvahs are very expansive and extensive and all-encompassing in so many different aspects of life. And then the learning itself is infinite, the amount of learning that we're supposed to do. And is it the information of the learning? Is the learning just the blueprint to get the knowledge to do the mitzvahs, which it certainly is also? What's the broader picture of what this is all about? And I think that broader picture is really to be understood in a relatively simple way. I don't know, I shouldn't say simple, nothing is simple, but it can be refined to something, I think, which is simple enough for us to deal with. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world only for chesed. Olam chesed yibone. Just to do chesed. He wanted to do chesed. And that was his mahus, that was his being. He didn't need anything. Needs nothing, do chesed. In order to do chesed, He created a world with mishpat, because if you can't earn the chesed, if you don't earn the benefits, you don't feel good about it, you're embarrassed, it doesn't really mean anything to you, and you can't appreciate it, and therefore this whole sense of earning it. That's the mishpat in the world. So it's that combination of the purpose being chesed, to earn it through mishpat. Now, we have a very, very interesting opportunity. And that is, we have the ability to be guided in life about everything we should be doing, every move we should make, almost every breath of life, so to speak. I don't want to overwhelm anybody. You can have a couple of free breaths too once in a while, but it's basically it's all we're directed. I found Hispilus in a story once, where a Jew was tying his shoes on a plane in a very funny way, and the goy sitting next to him said, "Well, what's that all about?" So it said, and sheepishly and almost embarrassedly, he says, "Oh," he says, "well, you know, according to our religious laws, we're told which shoe to put on first, which one to tie first, which one to untie first." And this guy was almost blushing from embarrassment, you know, that this guy caught him in the act of this foolishness of tying, putting on this one, the right one, the left one, and what's going on over here? And this guy was nishtoimim, he was nispoil. He said, "Wow, you have a religion, you have directives that tell you about everything that you do in life." That's why the Chassam Sofer says it's drush, but the Chassam Sofer says that's when the Melech sits with the Sefer Torah on his lap, has a special Sefer Torah. The Melech says, "The Korah boy," I think it says the Korah, the Pasuk says, "Kol Yemei Chayev." So the Chassam Sofer says he reads all the Yemei Chayev, all the days of his life, he reads in the Sefer Torah. Exactly, the pshat is he reads every day of his life. That's the poshut pshat. But he says that he reads everything, because everything he has to do is based on Torah. Now, if we think about that, the level of privilege that we have is mind-boggling. We have direction in everything we do in life. We have direction in those things which are beferish. We know what bracha you make on water, and what and when Shabbos begins, and which malochas are forbidden to perform on Shabbos, and so forth and so on. And then we have areas which are Das Torah, which are composites of the greatest minds of all the generations, learning the entirety of the Torah, or the fullest expanse and the depth of the Torah, and having developed their minds to think according to the Das Kel Elyon, that they think the way Hashem thinks. Their minds have been nurtured and fine-tuned and refined to think in the divine logic, in the logic of Yashrus, in the logic of Emes, in the logic of sensitivity, in the logic of Rachmonis, and in the logic of patience, in the logic of giving, of Chesed. And this becomes the total outlook of the Jew, and everything he does is based upon this development. And we have no idea sometimes how much we've been refined in this process. That we think differently, we look at things differently, we have a different perspective on life, and it's all because of the impact that Torah has on us. One of my favorite quotes is from the Machzeh Vitri. The Machzeh Vitri learns pshat in the Mishnah, Yofe or Toiv. There's two Mishnahs, I forget which one he's referring to. Im Derech Eretz, Torah Im Derech Eretz is a good thing. Sheigia Shnei Mashkach Hazovim, because the effort that's put into both, Torah meaning learning, and Derech Eretz meaning making a living, making parnosa, the Yegia that you put in, the effort you put in, causes sin to be forgotten. And the Machzeh Vitri learns that it's talking about learning Hilchas Gzeila. It's not talking about Torah Stam, but Torah Gzeila. And he says, learning the halochas of Gzeila, of stealing, and learning and having a parnosa, so you shouldn't be tempted to steal, those two together are mashkachasov, and they cause sin, the sin of Gzeila, to be forgotten. And my question is, what does it mean, mashkachasov? It's forgotten. It's not forgotten. the person who has a parnosa and the person who learns his gzeila, it's not the pshat he forgets. The pshat is, I have parnosa. I don't have this great temptation to steal. And I learned Hilchas Gzela that you're not allowed to steal, so I know you're not allowed to steal. But it seems that the pshat is mashkachas of it, that the learning creates a situation in the person's neshama, in the person's mind, and in his heart, that it doesn't dawn on him. It's forgotten. It's min animna. It can't be. In Yiddish, there's an expression, I don't know how you say it in English, it's faltem nishtein. It doesn't dawn on him. It doesn't fall into his head for a moment to think such a thing. Why? Because the Torah has molded him. Now, if he didn't have a parnosa and he was hungry, he didn't have what to eat, so he might think, you got a lot of extra money. I think I'm going to see if I can put my hand in your pocket, you know, to take some of that money. But that's because I don't have what to eat. But if I have my parnosa, I have my basic, I have derech eretz, I have my parnosa, and I learn Hilchas Gzela, it doesn't dawn on me. It's out of my realm. And that's the koyach that Torah has. So the Klal Yisrael, when they learn Torah, are not only learning how to act in a godly way, how to act in a refined way, how to act in a proper way, how to act in a sensitive way, a caring way, a loving way, a giving way, a merciful way, a truthful way, a just and righteous way, but we're also molding our character that it's almost as if... I become this godly person that can't even think of doing anything that's inappropriate. Now, we may say, oh boy, this is the goal. How many years are you willing to give us for this? 100? 1,000? 100,000 years? No, I wish, but I don't think that's the plan. But we'll be amazed at to what extent we can achieve this, to whatever degree that we can achieve this, how choshev every step of achievement of this is, by working on ourselves through the Torah, through the mitzvahs, through the learning, and having this impact upon ourselves. There's a very interesting contrast, which I think is important as well. The contrast between the founding fathers and our Father in heaven, Lahavdil. I'm humored when I hear whether it's right-wing, how do you call it, talk hosts, talk show hosts, or politicians, or Supreme Court judges, or Supreme Court judge critics, and they're talking about the intent of the founding fathers. Very nice. But I'll tell you the truth. First of all, I know a little bit about some of these founding fathers, and I'm not going to share that publicly right now. It might be considered unpatriotic, you know. But some of these founding fathers were whatever. Yeah. They were fathers, all right. They're founding fathers. You know. These guys. Their level, their moral standard, and their level of integrity and honesty and decency. One of them, who was, a very major player in the Founding Fathers Club, when he wrote the Nusach of All Men Are Created Equal, and someone asked him, don't you have barns full of slaves? Agav, in the back house, they say that Mr. Mott had his slaves on the top floor, but I don't know about that, whether it's true or not. That's the legend. Yeah. Who sleeps on the top floor? Yeah. Anyway, okay, that's it. The horses were downstairs, the slaves were upstairs. So have your pick. Anyway, so when they asked him, do you have barns full of slaves? So he said, you said all men are created equal. Well, he had a very good terrace. You know what his terrace was? They're not men. Finished. So people who had no moral compass, no moral direction, said whatever came to their mind. The founding fathers made up a set of principles and values that's binding upon us today. Now, in a certain legal sense and practical sense, maybe, in order to have a government, in order to have a society that doesn't... Ish es Israel chayim b'loy, each one devour each other alive. that you need some type of structure like that. But compare that to a divine father in heaven who gives us the directives for life. Frankly, the founding fathers, I would consider that maybe we have better ideas than some of them. You know, they may have been intelligent people. I know that there are a lot of intelligent people just sitting in this room. You know, maybe we can come up with some better ideas. The founding fathers, you know, very nice. But the Rabbeinu Shalem, the creator, this is the purpose for which he created the world. He's all knowable, he's in all control, and he gave us this directive, and we now know on authority, on absolute authority, on incontrovertible authority, and the ultimate moral authority, because it comes from the Creator himself, as to what the right values are, what the right judgments are, what the right actions are, what the right sensitivities are, the feelings, the emotions, the beliefs, the activities, the actions. It's a whole different world. And we should be so proud, and we should be so happy, we should be so privileged, we should be so appreciative of this unique opportunity that we have. When you talk about comparing the two value systems, there's a famous, I'm sure everybody's heard this story, a story with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev. It was Pesach night, and the Rabbi Levi Yitzchak was sitting down to the Seder, but he refused to start the Seder. He asked his, I don't know, Gaboyim, whoever he had there, he says, I want you to go and find in the city, in the town of Berdichev, all the contraband, all the illegal substances that, you know, they made laws against the Jews that were completely unfair, just forbidding any business which Jews were in, all of a sudden became subject to the most exorbitant taxes and regulations and you know, curtailments, and that's the way we lived in Europe for many years. So anyway, all the contraband that they could find, they should bring to his house right now. And they came back with tons. They found this illegal substance in them. What we talk about, illegal substances. Maybe silk, maybe gold, maybe things that Jews were not allowed to do business in. I don't know what they were. And they piled it up. Then he told them, now go and find me chometz. It was the first night of Pesach. Go through all the Berdichev and find me chometz. They came back empty-handed. They couldn't find a crumb. They couldn't find a pirur. They couldn't find anything. And he sits there and he says, Rabbeinu Shalom. Mika Amcha Yisrael, the Melech, the government, whoever it is, they make rules and laws, and they tell us this, that, and the other thing, and that. Your people, Nebuch, the rules are stacked against them. It's unfair. They're mamish being undermined and limited in all their opportunities for parnosa and this. They do what they gotta do. And this is with the government, with the policemen, with the supervision, with the inspections, with the this, that, police force. And you just say, you know, Bal Yeroy, Bal Yemotze, you can't find any chometz in your house. I can't find a brekala. Can't find anything. Mika Amcha Yisrael. This is who your Klal Yisrael is. And that's such a profound concept, because that the man's law is man's law. You can't hold it against the person for thinking that, you know, this is unfair, this is inappropriate. You have your opinion, I have my opinion. You have your value system, I have my value system. You're being unfair, you're being immoral, you're being you're biased against us. And, you know, it could be rightly so. But when you deal with the divine system, the Creator, this is the Creator, this is what he says. And Klal Yisrael has been throughout the Doros bound to those directives in a way that's beyond what anyone can imagine. And the reason is very poignant, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just hint to us that these are his directives, didn't just expect us to discover it on our own, that these are his directives, didn't expect us to hear some kind of a fairy tales, Baba Mises, you know, and tell us that, oh, these are directives. He revealed himself in Mitzrayim, and he revealed himself at Har Sinai and spoke openly to the entire nation, millions of nefoshes, and told them exactly, I took you out of Mitzrayim. This is what I want. This, that. And the only thing that happened was that they stopped him in the middle and they were afraid to hear everything from him. And they opted that Moshe Rabbeinu should hear it from him and then tell it to them. And in order to assure that even though it was their suggestion and they should have no, but they should have no, no doubt that this is the official directive, he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in front of the whole Klal Yisrael as well, so that they know that everything Moshe Rabbeinu tells them is Moshe Mipi Agvura, is the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a whole different life. It's a whole different power. It's a whole different level of inspiration and commitment. And it gives a person such a sense of mission, such a sense of knowing what he's doing, such a sense of fulfilling the purpose of creation, such a sense of accomplishment, such a sense of privilege, such a sense of human greatness and godliness, because I have this system, it penetrates, it works, it impacts my, it changes, it refines my character, and it's all given to me directly from the Creator himself. I don't have to rely on founding fathers, and we also have forefathers, you know what I mean? But we don't rely on them. We rely on a Maimon Har Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself revealed himself to us. I think it's a very powerful kind of a difference that it could be very, very, very encouraging to us. And I think, though, that we also have to realize something else. And Chazal say that Lo Nitno, it's a Medrash Rabbah, that says, Lo Nitno HaMitzvahs Ela Letzarif Benes Abriyos. Mitzvahs were given to refine human character, to take out the, Letzarif means to take out the impurities from the human character. And this is, and Chazal give examples. You think, Ma'ichpes Leil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to put the tefillin on here or here, or the sheshecht over here or there. It's all Letzarif to refine human character. But I think that what we also have to realize is that today, unfortunately, we're not on the level of focus and attention to detail and to impact and to depth of meaning of all the mitzvahs as they were in times of old. And therefore, we need some additional help to refine our character. And that's where Musar comes in. That's where Limra Musar. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta came along and said that this generation can no longer just rely on going straight to the Gemara and refining their character completely. This relation can no longer rely on straight to the tefillah and refining their character completely. This generation can no longer rely on going straight to the Maisa HaMitzvahs and refining their character completely. And we also need Musar, and that's what Musar does. Musar focuses on these issues. Musar takes the Tzelem Elokim, man created in the image of Hashem, who has the potential to be greater than the Malochim. He has mamish the potential to soar, to be, when it says, Kedeshim Tiyu, Yochel Kamoini, you might think it's like Hashem. No, not quite, but way up there. And he has to take that potential and work on it. He has to identify the midas that are inappropriate, whether it's atzlus, whether it's kas, whether it's you know, or the lack of positive midas, the lack of chesed, the lack of rachmonas, whether it's a midas hasheker as opposed to a midas or emes, whether it's a midas lacking a midas of savlonus, and you know, whatever, and to work on them and to focus on them and to work constantly to refine them, to ask Hashem to help us to refine them, and to do everything we can to refine them. And how do we refine them? Just as long as we're discussing this, just very basically, one is, of course, through getting the chokhmah of Musar to understand how they work, what they're all about, how important it is to work on them, the tricks that the Yetzer Hara plays to get us to do these foolish things, and how we counter that. Then there's, of course, Musar b'Espailus, there's taking the concepts, taking the Chazal, and reviewing them again and again and again, and trying to internalize them, and trying to make ourselves, it's almost like it rings in our ears. I've repeated this again and again. I focused on it again and again. I pictured it again and again. It's almost like I have this this ringing in my ears that's constantly reminding me of this that I've been working on, so I'm able to bring it from here to here. And the third thing is the chinuch hamusa, the actions. Every time I do an action, it has a hashpah. If I run into the Beis Medrash, and I'm not suggesting that you knock over anybody on the way, and maybe I am suggesting that you be careful not to knock anyone over on the way, but then again, I don't know if you're running in so early, I don't know if you'll find anybody on the way, but that's besides the point. So running into the Beis Medrash, she says, a person develops his midas of zrizus, his midah of chashivas ha-Torah, of avas ha-Torah. I'm running to learn. He runs, he goes mamish with regesh, he goes to learn, or he goes to daven. It has a hashpah. Every time I do an act of chesed, it has a hashpah. Every time I do a minuscule act of chesed, I just clean up my own garbage, you know, it has a hashpah. Every time a person restrains from Lashon Hara, he becomes more of a shoimer on Lashon Hara. Every act that we do, both the restraining and from negative and the positive that we do, has a hashpah, not just that it's added up to the cheshbon of averis and mitzvahs, but it has an impact on the heart. The physical actions that we do not only impact the mind or emanate from the mind, but they impact the heart. They allow the specific midah that I've been expressing in this action to become part of my heart. That's what the chinuch means when he says, "Hodam nifal lefi puloisav." Man is motored according to his actions. The actions become part of his internal motor to act in the way that he acts, to continue acting, to feel for the acting, to be sensitive to the acting. He a person who does chesed becomes a bal chesed. It becomes part of him. These are constant efforts that we have to make. But I just thought that to mention that what a difference it is to know that I know what I'm here for. That's my job. And I know the levels that I can achieve in terms of my own development. And I know that the purpose for which I'm here for was revealed to me clearly, openly, directly, blatantly by the Creator himself. Not any man-made theories, and not any room for questioning that maybe there's some discrepancy or mistake. It's a very powerful sense, can engender a very powerful sense of confidence in what I'm doing. And then, just to conclude with, I would almost say my theme song, and if, I'm not going to sing, don't worry, and if a person does fulfill his purpose in life, then he can truly feel good about himself. I'm here, I have a purpose, and that's what I'm doing. I'm living up to the best of my ability, my purpose. And that, by the way, is the definition of human happiness. That's what osher means. That's what it means that a person feels validated, he feels good about himself. So we have the opportunity to elevate ourselves to the highest level, to recognize that these levels have been designated and given to us and designed and explained and expanded by the Creator himself. And they can elevate us to greater levels, and we can feel good about ourselves in our godly accomplishments. We can feel good about ourselves in the fulfillment of the purpose of creation. And so we have a formula for achieving the ultimate good. The schar that we get is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us, because he wants us to earn it, and we can earn it. And we have the opportunity to feel so happy in the process, because I'm fulfilling my purpose in life. So I think it's a good deal, and I...